It's Mully and Haw. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. And we are taking your phone calls at 312-644-6767. We'll start with Corey. He's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's up, guys? I don't know what the previous caller was talking about, man. Caleb looks good in spite of some mistakes.
Yep,
but, right. Hey, listen, if this goes off the rails, Poles could be gone. Flus is surely gone. But if they decide to keep Poles, he better drive up to I-94 and go get Ben Johnson from the Lions, somebody that can call some plays.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is going to be top assistant available for head coaching vacancies in the offseason. Now, mm-hmm. We're a long way from that in Chicago, but I think that the spirit of the phone call is correct in that yesterday made you question everything about the Bears you thought you knew, especially coming into this season. Thought it was going to be different. When was the last time you were this excited? All the expectations about a franchise quarterback. Boom, dashed. One afternoon in Indy. Changed everything. And it shouldn't be that tenuous. It shouldn't be that fragile, but we're talking about the Bears here. So everything kind of is temporary. And it feels like this hope and confidence that was placed in them moving forward this season was temporary.
Well, I tell you what, Matt Eberflus has got to turn this around or he is in trouble. Mm-hmm. If I'm not saying they have to make the playoffs, but I do feel like it's winning time and they need to prove that they can win more games than they lose. And if you get to the end of the year and that's not the case, there's going to be a call for some kind of movement. I don't believe for a second that Ryan Poles is in trouble.
I don't either.
I think he's done a good job of building up the team. Are they short at some spots? Yes. Should he have anticipated what's going on with the offensive line? I mean, just look at what they did on game day. The game day roster, they had three players who didn't play, which you always have your backup quarterback and you hope he doesn't play. And one's Tyson Bagent. They also had Bill Murray and they had Kieran Amagaji. So they had two offensive linemen they didn't even use. When they had an injured offensive lineman, when Tevin Jenkins went out, they brought in Nate Davis, who was...
He was healthy.
He apparently was healthy.
He was benched.
He was sidelined.
He was benched for Matt Pryor.
Okay.
Matt Pryor started in front of Nate Davis at right guard. Nate Davis did have a groin situation, which might have contributed to that. I don't know if Matt Eberflus fully explained that afterward.
Mm-hmm.
But when there was an injury, Nate Davis went into right guard. Matt Pryor moved over to left tackle. That's the position he played for the Colts, ironically enough. The Bears have issues on their offensive line.
But, I mean,
that's a Ryan Poles problem.
The Nate Davis thing, you think about it, they wanted to replace him with Ryan Bates, who now is on is on injured reserve and won't be back probably until after
London.
London.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting to me. Nate Davis has got to wake up in a hurry or he's not going to have a job.
One would hope he gets healthier. He gets a little bit more engaged and involved.
There you go.
But I think the spirit of the phone call is good because it attaches some urgency to what happens next for the coaching staff. Urgency that, frankly, you didn't hear after the game from Matt Eberflus. I think Ryan Poles is safe. But let's face it, at the end of the year, if this is trending in this direction right now after three games, we know this. Ben Johnson and Brian Flores will be two of the most sought-after assistant coaches for head coaching vacancies in the NFL in the offseason.
Bobby Slowick is a guy that could be brought up. He obviously has a connection here in Chicago.
They lost yesterday.
I know they lost.
I'm just saying.
The Bears did, too.
I know. But
Pete? Okay, I'm sorry I brought him up. Pete is in Rockford. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Good.
I'm a little nervous in one aspect. I think Shane Waldron is getting exposed, and I'm going to tell you why. When he was in Seattle, he had Geno Smith, who was a starter in the NFL. He knew the speed of the NFL. And I think right now Shane Waldron is not really knowing what to call for Caleb Williams. I think he's getting nervous because he has a quarterback now that has not progressed as much. And I think – as Bears fans, we need to be a little bit concerned because is a going to be another he's destroying our quarterback kind of thing.
Well, you, don't worry. Bears fans are concerned, no doubt about that. They're concerned about the offensive play caller.
Yeah.
That goes without saying. That's a Bears tradition.
Does Lucy get another play caller?
No. No.
So you should be concerned if you're connected to him.
Well, definitely. There's no scenario. I shouldn't say – you never say never in the NFL.
Right.
It's implausible to me to think that you're going to bring back Matt Eberflus if this season gets away from you badly enough to where you want to fire your offensive coordinator. If the season gets away from you badly enough to where you want to fire your offensive coordinator, chances are you're losing more than you're winning. And if that's the case in year three of the Matt Eberflus regime, he's probably going to go as well. That's just the way it works. You don't typically get three. You don't typically have a head coach who lasts three losing seasons to get a chance to hire his third offensive coordinator.
But this is all premature.
It is premature.
But it all looks pretty bad.
But he asked a question. Here's the problem with Shane Waldron right now. Yes. He is like so many offensive coordinators in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get too cute. They want to try too hard to trick people. They want to play chess, and all it takes is checkers. It's so simple. You're at the 1 yard line.
And Shane Nagy could be in trouble.
Shane Nagy might be in trouble.
Wait, what do you say?
I don't know why you're going with Luke Waldron. I don't know why you have to go there.
Bear is in Southwest Michigan.
What's up, Bear?
Bear on the Bears. Hey, Bear.
Hey, guys. So let's talk about Swift. Living in Michigan, I've watched Swift for years with the Lions and whatnot, and that guy just isn't it. He's like the great value Reggie Bush, but softer.
I'd take Reggie Bush.
I wouldn't take soft Reggie Bush, but go ahead.
So, you know, why did Poles draft Roschon Johnson? I mean, the guy is a horse. You got to pound the rock with that guy. And he's an extra blocker in the backfield. I mean, the guy, when he came in, he changed the game a little bit yesterday. His blocking, his catching, pounding the rock up the middle. I mean, the guy's a beast. Let him be a horse. That's what you drafted him for, Poles.
Okay.
Thanks, Bear.
I don't know about this, the legend of Roschon Johnson. I get it.
Bear. That was a guy from the TV show.
I think that was him.
I'm convinced it sounded like him.
It did a little bit, did you?
I know he's.
I thought his football takes would be better,
or at least I imagine.
I understand.
I hope he is.
Why you guys are down on DeAndre Swift?
Okay, he's not listening. What? Who? Listen.
You guys. You guys.
What are you? Like you're just this. Passive. Voice of.
I'm saying that I get it. I think he's been but I think that running behind that offensive line, I'm not quite sure as good as Roschon Johnson is purported to be.
All right, let me ask you a question. Saquon Barkley
yesterday. Yes, I love Saquon
Barkley. Let's say Saquon was here yesterday. Would he have been able to run behind that offensive line?
Very limited, unlikely.
Against that horrible defense that they were facing?
I don't know. He would have gotten more yards. I'm delirious.
He would have gotten more yards
than DeAndre Swift, but not the point where they're a 100-yard game.
Let's get a thermometer in here. The man is feverish.
There are not holes to be run through. I don't see them. Maybe I need to watch closer or watch again. But
run down their throat. David is on the Odyssey app. Hey, David. Go with the big men. Big people.
Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead. Ignore him.
Everyone else does.
Okay. So is this David in Oshkosh? Am I on?
Yes, David. You are on.
Oh, outstanding. Yes. So, look, good morning, gentlemen. I have to tell you a couple things that will slow your roll a little bit. I remember listening to Bill Cowher get interviewed by, Roy Firestone. And he said that every year it takes an O-line, even with the same guys, 4 to 6 weeks to get settled in. And I've watched that ever since, and it's true. And as far as the Bears' loss, I'm not losing it because every team that has the talent, finally, to win has to learn to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a transition. And that's what we're going into. That's why Eberflus is positive, because they're just learning as a team how to win. And they'll get there, but it's not going to be tomorrow. Mm. And I am encouraged by what he does, the kid. And the O-line, I mean, they went with guys that had been there. And I understand that mentality, but I also understand it takes 4 to 6 weeks every year for the O-line to get settled in.
David, I appreciate where you're coming from.
David,
it's a rational point of view, and I remember Bill Cowher saying similar things, but Bears don't have 4 to 6 weeks. This team does not have 4 to 6 weeks. That's why preseason mattered more than it did. This team has the easy part of the schedule in the opening month or 4 to 6 weeks. You can't wait for them to get good. They need to be good Sunday against the Rams. You just can't be that patient.
They don't need to be good Sunday. They need to be good enough. They need to be able to play their defense, and they need to win a game at home against the Rams. And they can do that.
But saying that you have 4 to 6 weeks to wait for your offensive line is settling. It's sounding as complacent as Matt Eberflus sounded after the game. There's positives to be found.
No. It's time to win right now.
You've got to treat this like a crisis.
I agree.
Because it is.
It's true. Patrick's in Lake Forest. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How are you today? I'll tell you, for me, this kind of goes back to the Hard Knocks. You know, we had a sepia-toned, lovely view of the Bears, and really it comes down to this, guys. Our head coach is a defensive coordinator. That's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how to hire an OC. The McCaskies aren't interested in any kind of coach that will outshine them. And so all this talk about Caleb Williams is fine, right? All this talk about offensive line takes 4 weeks. I mean, I'll try with that with my boss. Give me 4 weeks to pull it together. It's ludicrous, right? I mean, give me a break, guys. You've done this your whole life. The whole idea is they don't have a professional OC. And why do you expect different? We're going to have meet guys. And the other thing, one more thing. This league is built for parity. They're going to win some games.
Yep.
Right? Last year, I called in and said, Eberflus is a disaster. He's not a head coach. Everybody said, oh, no, but look, he won a few games. The league is built for – nobody's going to go 16 or 17-0 or vice versa. The league is not built for that. But we're going to have mediocrity, and we're going to panic about Caleb Williams. This ownership is squandering the number one overall pick, and this idea that they're going to get public funds from distressed state and city economies is beyond ludicrous. So until the ownership changes, guys, this is not a very uplifting idea, but – the idea that you're going to put a decent DC, which he is, he's a good defensive coordinator, and we're somehow going to turn that into let's enter the 21st century for offense, I don't see it. So I'll enjoy the 6-7 wins they get this year, but I'm not hoping for much more. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks for the phone call. Very interesting stuff. I don't see a connection between the Bears' on-field performance, whether it's good or bad, in their quest for public funds. That's not going to happen. There's no appetite for that. The governor's made it clear. Chris Welch has made it clear. That's a different story. On the field, yeah, they have got offensive coordinator issues. And the Hard Knocks comment was interesting because I got a couple of tweets from people that they said, one of them was, I feel cheated by Hard Knocks.
See, I think if you ran a Hard Knocks fan reaction, then you'd get all the swear words that were cut out of it. Am I right?
After yesterday,
a lot of cussing going on.
There
was a lot of cussing.
I think that would have been very difficult to bleep out and to edit out.
Yes.
A lot of cuss words on the cutting room floor.
Reggie is in Chatham. Hey, Reggie. It's terrible.
Hello.
Hey, bud.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. And I've been moved to call. Let me be the voice of reason. You know, I'm tired of seeing – I'm a longtime Bears fan, childhood Bears fan, all right? Even though my dad was a Cardinal fan, but, you know.
Hey, they used to be the Chicago Cardinals. I'm sure he inherited
that. Right.
Yeah,
He got here 2 years before they won the championship in 47.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I get it, all right? Look, I'm tired of the talk about the revolving doors of firing people and moving people in and moving people out. You know, look, give the franchise a chance to develop. The Prince of the Finger Lakes, Ryan Poles, will figure out how to get things done. He is proven to be good at doing that. All right. So let him give him the opportunity to develop the offensive line, to develop this team into a cohesive factor so that they can be part of the black and blue division. Okay? Because right now, we're the only team that lost yesterday in the black and blue division.
Yep.
That's right.
Vastly improved
Thanks,
division.
Reggie.
Thanks, Reggie. A lot of good points there. Yep. Look at the Lions. They bounce back against the Cardinals.
That's right.
The Vikings are being as well coached as any team in football right now.
That guy's coach of the year right now.
They're 3-0. And you know what? Matt LaFleur might be in the conversation because of what he's been able to do with Malik Willis.
No doubt about it.
So you're at a coaching deficit in your own division.
Yep.
You need to make that up quickly.